Father God, may you open my mouth so that only truth comes forth. May you open our hearts to receive your truth so that we may act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder when the last time was that you received a compliment. You think back, when did you last receive a compliment from somebody? I wonder how many of you that compliment was something to do with your appearance. What a lovely pair of trousers. I do like your top. You've got a new haircut. It looks lovely. Or perhaps it was something along these lines. You look great today. You lighten up the room. Cheesy, yeah? These are from a list of 50 ways to compliment your friends. You can Google it if you want to know. I'm a little bit concerned about this one. No one cooks quite like you. Then you've got a great sense of style. Not bad. You're so brave. And my favourite one, you are more fun than anything I know, including bubble wrap. So, we have a long passage today, but today we're going to be focusing on verse 29. So if you've still got your Bibles open, that's the one we're particularly going to be focusing on today. And it actually follows on from verse 25 that Mark was speaking to us about 3 weeks ago, at our joint service at St. Andrew's, if that helps you to place it. And I'm really sorry I'm not going to do the jacket thing, I'm afraid. So if you've missed it, I'm really sorry. But a few weeks ago, this is what Mark was speaking about. Verse 25. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. And the verse we're looking at today, verse 29, says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So Mark in his talk was focusing on why we should not be speaking falsehood. Today's passage is like the opposite side of the coin. Not about why we shouldn't be speaking falsehood, but why we should be encouraging each other, building each other up, speaking wholesome talk. So it's like two sides of the same coin. So we're looking today at encouraging each other. How can we be building each other up? And I'm going to be focusing on three words. Why, what, and how. Why should we be doing this? Why should we be speaking wholesome talk? What does it actually mean? What does it mean to be doing that? And how should we be doing it? So first of all, why? Why should we be trying to build each other up and to be encouraging each other? Now, I'm going to kind of make a little bit of an assumption here. In Mark's talk, he spoke about how we should be doing this within the church especially. Okay, we should be doing it to non-Christians as well, but this is within the church especially. Why should we be doing this within the body of Christ? Now, if you want more information on that, do go on the website and listen to his talk from a few weeks ago, and that will give you a bit more information, but just to save some time. So when we are building each other up, we're actually doing it partly for ourselves. We do it, and if we are doing it to other people, then they're going to be doing it to us as well. So by encouraging somebody else, it may well be that we also get that kind of encouragement. We are also being built up as an individual, and we all need that. We need somebody to be doing it for us. So if we can be doing it to them, they are more likely to feel able to do it to us as well. We're also told that we should be doing this. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And our passage today, this is him working that out. It's unpacking this calling. We should be encouraging people. So by doing that, we are living lives worthy of the calling that we have received. So we're doing it for ourselves. We are also doing it for the individual that we are complementing, that we are building up. In our passage, it actually gives us a reason. It says we should be doing this because it will benefit those who listen. Something good is going to be coming out of this. In Ecclesiastes 4, it talks about when two are together and encouraging each other, some amazing things are going on. The benefits, you get a good return for your labor. When you're encouraging each other, you're stronger together. You can help each other up when someone's having a tricky time. You can keep each other warm. You can defend each other. And they're not easily broken when you are working together like this. So together, when we are building each other up as Christians, we can be more effective Christians. We can be helping when we're slipping. We can be lifting them back to Christ when they're slipping away. We can keep the fire burning for each other. We can be protecting each other against attacks. And we can be helping each other to remain strong in Christ. What a blessing to be able to do that for each other. Hebrews 3 speaks about encouragements. It says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We know that the world is a place where sin is everywhere, all around us. And so we need to be coming back to each other and encouraging each other daily to be standing firm, to be coming back to Christ, because it is so easy to be tempted by the world. And by encouraging each other, we can be helping each other to resist that sin and the effects of it. Proverbs 16, I think this is just beautiful. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. How beautiful is that? Our words can be this sweetness and this healing to other people. We can have that effect on somebody else's life. And very often we don't even realize that we're doing it. Think about the times perhaps when somebody has encouraged you. And it's been almost a throwaway comment, but it has meant so much to you and it's kept with you during the day. Another reason why we should do this is not just for the individual we're talking to, but for the church as a whole. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul has been talking about the church as a body. We are the body of Christ, and as such, we should be striving for unity. Chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And encouraging each other helps with this unity. By building each other up, we are creating Christians who are assured of their faith, who are confident, Christians who are willing to work together for this unity of the body. He also speaks of it in 2 Corinthians 13. He says, strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So encouragement is a vital part of the peace and the unity of the church, of his body. Just a few verses before our passage today in verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So by encouraging each other and building each other up as the body of Christ, we are going to become more and more mature. In Mark's talk, he spoke of the body and how ridiculous it would be if it started lying to each other. He gave an illustration of what if the brain suddenly decided to tell the hand that the mouth was in a different place. What a ridiculous thing that would be. Well, if we take that analogy and turn it around, well, what happens if the body stops building itself up? If the stomach suddenly decides that all of the food that's going to go into it, it's going to keep hold of, thank you very much. I don't want to give it to all the other bits of the body. I want all of that lovely energy for myself. and it doesn't give it to anything else. How ridiculous. Or the heart suddenly decides, all this lovely blood, I'm going to keep it to myself, thank you. I don't like the lungs. I'm going to give it to everybody else apart from the lungs. Well, it's so ridiculous that it seems, I feel silly standing up here and saying it. And yet, if we are not trying to build each other up as Christians, that's exactly what we're doing. We are told that we are the body of Christ. And so if we're not building each other up, then we are damaging that body. Building up the church makes the church a stronger place. And it also means that the church is a better witness. In our verse, it says that it will benefit the listener. Now, the listener is not just the person who receives the compliment. It's also the people who hear the compliments being given. If we are doing this kind of thing, then the people who are listening in, the eavesdroppers, if you like, they're going to be able to see a world that is different. When I was at university, I met a girl called Jess, and she was really passionate about this particular idea, and she would go around and tell everybody about it. She said, I look at my friends at school. She was 14 at the time, very wise. I look at my friends at school, and they think to themselves, oh, my friend is on a par with me, or I can't have that, my confidence doesn't allow that. If I insult them, it will push them down. And then the friend is thinking, oh no, I'm feeling really rubbish. How can I make myself feel better? I know if I insult them, that will bring them down and I'll be better. And she was seeing this with her friends, that it was insult after insult after insult, criticism after criticism. And they were breaking each other down. And these were supposed to be friends. And they were doing it to try and make themselves feel better. And she said, that's not how we're supposed to be. As Christians, we are supposed to be doing the opposite. So we start on a level. And I compliment somebody. And then this person thinks, oh no, I'm complimented. Now I need to build that person up so they're a little bit higher than me. Oh, no, then now I'm higher, so I've got to build somebody else up. And we end up in a place where we are just feeling so encouraged by each other. And that is such a better way to be. And if we can be doing this with each other, and if we can be modeling this with non-Christians as well, it's going to cause them to be questioning. Why are you like this? Why are you not getting involved in this critical culture that we've got? How often do we have a celebrity that is brought down by the media? It seems as if they can't rest until that person has been destroyed. Well, if we can be modeling another way, it is going to be showing them more about God's love and his kingdom. So that was the why. Why should we be doing it? What about the what? What should we actually be doing? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, should I do a Google search like I did for the other stuff? How should I work this out? And I suddenly had an inspiration. Why not look at the Bible? And one of the greatest encouragers, I think, in the Bible is Paul. If you look through his letters, I do encourage you to do this. It is an amazing thing. Just flicking through his letters and seeing how often he encourages people. Almost every single one of the letters that Paul wrote starts with an encouragement. These are some of the things that he says. In 1 Corinthians, he says that the people, they have been enriched by God. They are not lacking spiritual gifts. They are waiting eagerly for Christ. They have kept strong in their faith. In Philippians, he praises the Christians there, saying that they are in partnership with him in the gospel, that he is longing to see them. Colossians, he celebrates their faith and their love for each other, and he recognizes that they are bearing fruit. The Thessalonian Christians, wow. Just have a read through some of those. 1 Thessalonians, he picks up on the work that is produced by their faith, the labor that is being promoted by love, the endurance that is inspired by hope. He's picking up on the evidence of their faith that he is seeing. a faith that he says rings out to the people around them. They've turned away from idols, and he praises them for that. And then in the second letter to the Thessalonians, he says, your faith is growing. I can see evidence for it. Your love for each other is increasing. You have great perseverance when you're in persecution. And I could go on and on. I wrote down them all, and I got to two sides of A4, and I thought, I can't include all of that. But I hadn't even got to the end of the letters by the time I'd done that. What amazing examples of how we can be doing this, what it actually means to be encouraging people. We can also look to Jesus as an example. In Revelation, he speaks to the seven churches. He gives them letters. And as part of that, there are encouragements that he gives. And the things that he is encouraging the churches for are their hard work in the gospel, their perseverance, that they are not tolerating wicked people. They are enduring hardships. They're hating evil practices. They are rich in all the right ways. They're standing firm, walking with Christ, not denying him even though they are weak. They're keeping his commands, and they are enduring patiently. Now compare that to the list at the beginning of the talk. When you were last complimented, was it this kind of thing? So often we compliment on earthly things, how we look or the things that we're good at. But we're really not very good at complimenting each other in a spiritual way. Can we be looking to compliment each other in this kind of way within the church? I mean, how would you feel if somebody were to come up to you and say, I love the way that you are walking with Christ, even though you're having a really tough time. I can see that your hard work and dedication is fueled by your love for Christ. I love the way that your faith is a real encouragement to me. I can see that you are becoming more mature. I can see that you are more loving now. I've noticed that you are more joyful. You've become more self-controlled. What a blessing would that be to have somebody come up to you and say that. But it brings me to the how, because there are some important things that we need to be saying. We are really bad at this. We're not great at giving compliments, but we're also not great at taking compliments. My automatic reaction if somebody says to me, oh, I like your top. Oh, thank you, I got it from Sainsbury's in the sale. I have to say something back. I can't just take that compliment and enjoy the blessing that that is. It's not about working hard or being clever, trying to manufacture these different kinds of things. As Christians, we are changed. Chapter 1, verse 13 of Ephesians says, when you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And this changes us. We have God's Holy Spirit living within us as Christians. God's love has been poured out into us. And that flows out. And encouragement is one way that that happens. If we're trying to force this, then it's not going to be true. But if it is flowing from our love for God, then it does become true. Luke chapter 6 says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. A good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So if our heart is full of love, God's love for us, and the encouragements that we get from that, then we can be giving out that love and that encouragement to other people. Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's not an easy thing to be encouraging people. It's not a natural thing. Some people do have a special gift in this kind of thing. In Romans 12, verse 8, it lists it as a special gift. But it is also something we are all encouraged to do. In fact, more. We are all told that we should be doing this. And if this is something that you're not good at, if you automatically go for the physical appearance, for example, then let's go back to the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 17 speaks of the non-believers being recognized by the futility of their thinking. So we need to be working on our thinking. Romans 12 says that we should be being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So remember the gospel. Learn more about God and about what he has done for you. Ask him to show you his love. Ask him to show you how to be encouraging other people. We also need to be careful that we're not falling into flattery. Flattery is not just a meaningless thing. It's actually really dangerous, especially when it comes to Christians. Encouraging somebody for something that is wrong is such a terrible thing to be doing. If I went up to somebody, if I go up to Ed at the end of the service and I said, Ed, I'm really impressed with how well you control your tongue. I've noticed that you can do that really well, but actually I know that Ed is a real gossip. That's why I picked on you, Ed, because I know you're not a gossip. I'm encouraging him to carry on gossiping. He's going, oh, well, obviously what I'm doing is good. I'll continue to do it. And not only that, I'm actually justifying what he is doing. He doesn't now just think it's okay. He thinks it's good to be doing that. So I am damaging him and potentially damaging other people by flattering him when it is not true. In Psalm 64, it says that evil people actually encourage each other. So we can encourage each other in bad ways as well. It talks about them plotting evil deeds together and encouraging each other in those evil deeds. So make sure that the compliments that you are giving to each other are true and are godly, so that the person is uplifted and God is glorified. So what I'm not asking you to do is to go and get yourself a cup of coffee today. Yay, coffee. And see how many people you can compliment before you leave the church. That's not what I'm talking about. It should be thoughtful and considered based on a relationship. We're not talking about false flattery. Maybe you've been thinking about something for ages, or you've had a thought in your mind for ages, in which case feel free to tell people today. But perhaps you can have it as your homework, if you like, to be thinking about how can I be encouraging people this week. Perhaps you could give somebody a call, meet up with somebody, send them a note or an email. Maybe it's going to be part of your home group or part of a group that you are involved in. I love the way our group really works together. I love the way that we wrestle with the truth and keep coming back to these things that are difficult. So in conclusion, instead of using our mouths to speak falsely, we should be celebrating people's victories in Christ. We should be affirming one another's gifts. We should be highlighting when there are positive changes in their lives. We should be pointing them forward to the coming of Christ. And just as Paul does, if you do that thing that I was saying about looking at his letters, how often he turns it into prayer for them. Encouraging somebody and then turning it into prayer. Celebrating the good and then praying for more to come out of that good. And if we can do this, we will be living out our own calling. We will be building up an individual person. We'll be strengthening the unity of the church. And we'll be a strong witness to non-believers.